I want to welcome everybody to the PDR Workshop podcast. We have Zan Vidic. Vidic? Did I say that right?
Vidic. Yeah, Vidic. Yeah.
All right.
Zan, hey, everybody. Hey, thanks for having me on, Chris.
No problem. Now, if people don't know Zan, he has been an advocate for paintless dent repair. You travel how many miles every time to see or to compete in these expos? How far is that?
I don't know exact miles, but it's a long way. For example, the last one, I live in Slovenia in Europe. So the last competition was in Vegas at MTE. So yep. That was a quick, crazy trip for me. I was home on Thursday, started Friday, arrived there Friday evening because of the time difference. I'm going back, you know,
right.
And Saturday competed. And Sunday back home.
Woo, man.
Yeah. And that's from Europe. So.
Right. And there's not a lot of guys that travel out here from Europe as consistent as you do. So I do appreciate, doing that and obviously growing the friendship on this side of the water. So that's always a plus.
Yeah. I mean, I met so many great people on these trips at MTEs and BDR World Cup and also the German show, and I'm going to the one in Japan in December for the first time. So I meet so many new nice people that I just want to come back just to see them, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So just tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell the viewers, you know, where you're from, your background, how long you've been in the industry, all that good stuff.
So I'm from Slovenia, Europe. I've been doing dance since I got into industry in 2008. First doing R&I. I did R&I for a year and just practiced on some scrap hoods. And then from 2009 to 2010, I was practicing with real tools. but just by myself. I had no teacher, actually, to be by my side and tell me what to do and what not to do, you know. I was basically watching other people do it, just see how they push and try to imitate it in a way. So in 2010, I basically fixed my first hail car. I was doing hail most of the time because we have quite a lot of hail in our country almost every year. If not, somewhere in Europe, and Europe is quite smaller than USA, so traveling is not that bad. Mm-hmm. So somewhere across the whole Europe.
So you're by Venice and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'll make sure I pass social studies.
Now, in the last, I don't know, maybe 4 years, I tried doing some door things and stuff. I did door things before, but like bigger smashes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Which do you prefer? I know you have to support your family, but do you prefer hail or some of the bigger damage?
For making the money, I prefer hail, but sometimes I prefer a challenge because doing hail is just same old, you know, just pushing through them. We have a lot of dents on the car, just push through them. Nothing that challenges you a lot. But in big smashes, it's where you get the challenge and you push yourself and you see what can you do, you know?
Yeah, no, I can relate. So I always ask all the viewers, you know, just walk us through your average day. I guess, your current day, I know you were talking before the show, you do a lot of hail right now just because of the season. But just walk us through your typical day.
Yeah, so this season, it was crazy for us because we opened our own location, our shop in the capital, about a year and a half ago. And this year we had some hail around the capital. So we got some work there. And we don't have nobody staff there because we are all traveling for work. We are doing body shops and dealerships. Mm. So in the morning when I woke up early, around 4 o'clock, depends on how was my schedule the day before. I went quickly to the gym in the morning to stretch out because if not, last year I did no gym and after the season I was completely destroyed because you get so cramped and everything, your muscles don't work the way they should. So quick gym in the morning, then went working at a dealer location or a body shop, depends on the day. Was there till 4 p.m. and then head back to my shop and continue till 8 or 9 p.m., whatever, just to finish what we had coming in. My wife was at the shop taking in the car that we got directly, so she took care of that. So in the morning, she took them in. In the evening, I fixed them, and next day, they went out.
Well, nice.
Nice. And then in the evening, when I came home, put my kids to bed, and I put myself to bed.
So long days. Now, this is... it's dying down for us, you know, it's getting into November. Is it just picking up for you guys? I mean, how does it work?
No. It's also dying down for us. I have next week. I wanted to go on holidays for the last 2 weeks, but just you get a phone call. Hey, I have 2 cars here. Oh, okay. I'll come.
So you're just getting the stragglers in right now.
Yeah. But it's slowing down now. So next week, Thursday and Friday, we have holidays. So I'm just 3 days. Mm-hmm. Then we have Thursday. I have Thursday and Friday off. I'm going to get ready to speak at Branson show, because Branson is coming up on Sunday. We are flying out to Branson with my wife.
Nice.
PDR World Cup.
So this is the show called PDR World Cup, correct?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. So Sunday we are flying out there. We're going to be there a few days earlier just to relax, to be honest.
A little vacation. Now, where is that? Is that in Denver? Where is that at?
No, Branson, Missouri.
Missouri, okay. You did say that, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to fly into Springfield and then drive down. It's about an hour drive from Springfield to Branson.
Now, a lot of people don't know, but you compete in almost every PDR competition every year. Every last one, right?
Yeah, so I went to a few German competitions before I went to the PDR World Cup that was held last year in December. And after that one, I'm just trying to go to all of them.
Nice. Now, why is that? What motivates you to literally compete every single time?
Well, my theory is that if I go to enough competitions, sooner or later, the good end guys won't show up and I can win. No, seriously, I don't know. I just like to compete.
Nice.
I was playing basketball my whole life, and I stopped that. So I don't know. It's just fun thing to do. It's good with. Like I said, I like to go to these shows now. I've been to MT for the first time, and to the PDR World Cup also, and I have such a great time that I like to go. And since I'm there, why not compete, you know?
Right. Now, you bring your own tools or you just use what's available?
I bring a few tools, door tools and hammer, my blending hammer, my tap down,
mm-hmm.
and a slide hammer and taps and glue gun, basically. I just bring what I need. Except the light. Light is huge to bring on the plane, you know?
Right.
So,
and there's plenty there.
The small tools, it's simple to carry.
Yeah. So just quickly, 5 minutes before you're about to compete, how do you prepare your mind? What goes through your mind?
I'm nervous. But, I'm nervous, but I just want to start. Because when... The moment I start and the moment I finish is the time that I'm most relaxed, you know?
Yeah.
Before I'm nervous, like, oh, I'm about to go. And then after, oh, how did I do it, you know?
Right.
But in between is peace and quiet. Just I put my headphones on, my music, and go.
Nice. Now, I know you definitely listen to music. Is there a favorite song that you start off with, or is it a playlist? We're getting off topic,
it's a playlist. I make a playlist just before I go. Like I'm gonna make one for the PDR World Cup now before I go in the next few days.
Oh, that's
it's
good.
Mostly,
that's good.
Hip hop music. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So now MT Vegas exposed guys to changes in the competition. They're now calling it, I think, Dent Trials. So I think that's going to be the same thing that they're going to offer in Florida, I believe. And so for the people...
No, in Florida, it's going to stay the same, one dent.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to have the Florida is going to be called Dance Olympics, like it was all the time, just one door thing. And then the Vegas is going to have the Dance Trials.
Okay. So for the viewers that don't know about the Vegas Dent Trials, since it's not common, you have to work on a crease in the fender, just a standard dent in the door that you see in the dent competition. And then you have to glue pull a rail. And these are some sharp dents. Now, on top of that, you have 90 minutes to complete all of them. So that's definitely less time than the dent competition one in Florida, correct?
Yeah, the dent competition in Florida, you have 45 minutes, but just the one single dent on the doors.
Okay. So, yeah, so you got 90 minutes to do all three dents. So yeah.
You have like 30 minutes per dent here, and you have 45 there.
Right.
One dent.
Right. Now, with the changes, well, which one do you prefer?
I prefer this one in Vegas.
Okay.
Because it really brings out all of the skills, glue pulling and crease and the normal dent.
Right. Yeah.
So it brings out more skills than just normal dorting.
So a couple minutes. I know you watched a couple of people, you know, you're very methodical of what you do. So what were you thinking? What was your plan of attack on that, on the dent trials in Vegas?
Yeah, I wanted to get, because the door thing was the nastiest of them all, three of them. So my plan was to get the rail dent and the fender dent out in 45 minutes. So that's going to leave me 45 minutes like I am in Florida now.
Right.
45 minutes, one door dent left. And so I was jumping from rail dent to fender dent at the start to get them both out together in 45 minutes.
All right. And you...
Then I jumped on the doors.
And you won, what's the second place at that competition?
Yeah, I was second.
Second place.
I was second.
And I think the top five... Like, how do they even tell which one's first? Is this just pull a name out the hat? I mean, because it's all of them are, at least the top five, all of them are clean. You can't see anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
I mean, the judges have a really, really tough job. To be honest, I don't want to judge.
Yeah.
I would not like to judge. And yeah. I think if they do a judging again, maybe the results are completely different in top five.
Yeah.
Because they're so close.
Yeah.
The first guy had 2 points more than me out of 750 points. So, you know, it's really close.
Yeah.
And the third one had 1 point less than me. So we were all so close that it's like, it was amazing. I mean,
yeah, I couldn't see anything.
To judge a competition that like that is really, really hard.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you know.
I mean, for all the dent guys, I think what I remember them seeing is they will literally put the light back about 17 cars away and then see if they can see any flicker. But, you know, I think another person, you know, other people use that door and it's what, roughly 5-6 inches away from each other? Another person's work. So it's very hard to kind of distinguish your pushes, not really your pushes, but the way the door contours on where your dent is compared to someone else's. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. In Vegas, they have the dents more separated on the doors.
Oh, okay.
There was more space between the dents, so it was nicer. But yeah, in Orlando, the dents are really close to each other.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to spread them out a bit this year.
Yeah. It's a little...
upcoming one.
Yeah, it's a little unfair because we all know if something is that close, just pushing in the same vicinity of that of the dent could sway anybody's outcome, I would think. Unless they're grading after you do the repair, and then that way it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because that variable is not there, so... So with the technique that you had with the rail, fender, 45 minutes, and then 45 minutes on the door... Knowing what you know now, would you change that up? or you just still attack it the same way?
No, I would do it the same again.
Wow.
The only thing I would change about me personally for that competition is come a bit earlier to Vegas because I was super tired when I was competing. Yeah. At one point I was pushing a fender and I was kneeling down on my knees and I started to get cramps in my legs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's no good.
The jet lag and everything just tired me.
Right. That's no good. Now let's talk about tools then. Is there any tools that you see out here in 2019 that you may have purchased that kind of changed the way you either push or attack dents or anything that's, you know, the tool of 2019 for you?
In the whole year? Or just from the Vegas, you mean?
Well, I mean, you can do both. The whole year and then what you've noticed in Vegas that you either wanted to pick up or you did pick up that you use on, a daily or weekly basis.
So, I don't know when I picked up, but let's go from the start when I start really picking new things up. So the first thing was probably the lift right. That really changed the way I do things.
Okay.
Then, let's see. Well, for me, for the light is the most important thing, to be honest.
Yes, I agree.
So, because if you can't see, you can fix it.
Yep.
I agree. I changed my light to the Chubby lights.
Okay.
HD, Chubby HD. So I have those lights now, and those are really good. I'm looking now in Branson to try some other lights to compare them, because I never compared them to any other lights except the D&E lights. You know that one?
Which one?
D&E.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't been exposed to that light. I know it was kind of new light that just came out. It's like carbon fiber and stuff?
It's not carbon fiber. It's a company called D&E. They make their own lights. The lights are actually great for the price and performance are probably the best purchase you can get.
Okay.
I love those lights, but the Chubby, they show like 5 to 10% more of orange peel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So for the competition, it matters.
Yeah. Yeah, the Chubby.
Then.
Chubby light is great.
Yep.
I'm a big advocator to the. I feel like they have the best fade. It's just
the
connector. It just doesn't hold up in my mind.
No, I want to put it next to Stucky light and new Illumident light just to compare all of them and see which one works best for me. You know,
right. Yeah, no. As soon as I saw the Pro PDR light in the fade, I was amazed at the detail in that orange peel that you can see. But like you said, it's a 7 to 10, about at least 10% on some of the lights. Now I was coming from an Ultra Dent Tools light, which is the 3-strip, so it made a huge difference from that. Yeah, even the light,
more than 10%.
Yeah, that's a good 20-25%. But I do have the Stucky. And I do have like an A1. I don't have the new Illumident Hail Light, but like you said, I don't think it's that much of a difference. But I mean, I agree with you. It starts with the light though. So, and everybody's eyes are is you know, either more or less sensitive than others. I know when I was welding, they were saying that anybody with like blue eyes, they're super, super sensitive. So they would need to shield a little bit stronger than me when I was welding. So remembering that. Yeah. So everybody's going to pick up different things depending on, you know, what they, you know, obviously what they see, but the, you know, certain clarity is going to be obviously different. So
that's why also everyone prefers different colors. Like I use only a yellow one.
Okay.
The warm light.
Yeah.
Some people use the white, the bright white, and
Yeah, we're pretty similar because I've noticed that the white light kind of irritates my eyes, especially long term. If I'm working on a hail car, I love the warm.
I just want to be on warm. It's better for my eyes.
Yeah. And isn't there a statistic where, you know, warm light is actually easier on your eyes, and then that blue light, it stimulates your mind a little too much. So I get these like headaches if I just use bright like blue, what's 5,000 Kelvin, you know, lights all day. And so yeah, I know there's like glasses that help you, shade down the blue. And even like the iPhone has that, feature where after about 7 o'clock, it does that, tannish tint to the screen, because they said your mind just is constantly going with the blue light. It just stimulates your mind. So I can only imagine, at least when I look at the yellow, unless it's a yellowish car, or like a brownish car or something, then I'll switch to the white, but every time else I'm yellow.
Yeah. So to go back to the tools, the Dent Reapers.
Ah, okay.
I love the Dent Reapers.
Mm-hmm.
And the tool I love a lot is the from A1 with the ratcheting handle. It's called the Dent Wizard tool with the BB tip on it. Mm-hmm. So you can put a cherry cap on it.
Okay.
So I combined that tool with John Hiley's the handle that he made.
Yes.
The tactical handle.
Yes.
I combined that two together. You have so much pushing power with that. It's just amazing.
And you push without the cherry tip, right?
I push with and without.
Yeah. And that R4 tip without the cherry tip pushes great. That ball. I don't know what it is, but with that round ball, it pushes. It's just a different feeling than like a regular hook tool, the straight edge.
It's nice. It makes nice pushes.
Yeah. What tool did you use during that competition on the door?
On the doors?
Yeah, the door.
The exact same tool that we are talking about.
Nice.
Yeah, I used that tool with the cherry cap on it. And without it, and the Dent Reaper tools.
Nice. So those are the tools you tend to bring with you.
Two tools.
Yeah. Now the Dent Reaper was for finishing?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. That thing is so sharp, man. I don't even want to carry it around. I feel like I'm going to stab myself. It's so bad, man. Yeah, it's super sharp.
Those are crazy sharp tools, but wow, they work perfectly, and they're so stiff,
Yeah.
Whatever, how much energy you put into it, you get the same amount of energy out of them at the bottom when you push. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure.
No flexing and losing the power of pushing.
It is the perfect tool. I'm surprised no one has came up with something like that, 10 years ago. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, a longer kind of swoop so you can get that leverage point, and then just super, super sharp, I don't know why that wasn't created before, but, it is here. It's here now. So Dent Reaper, John from Dent Reaper, kudos to you and whoever helped designed it.
Now, yeah, those are great.
And then you said the Dent Wizard tool from A1, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's switch gears here. Yeah, those go ahead.
Yeah, just those two tools I use on the doors.
So I'm going to go out and order one, so I'll let you know. I don't have that Dent Wizard one, but I have John's Dent Reaper. So, and what I tend to do for that door is I get a double bend, and then I put the R4 tip on. But, as I'm getting older, I would love to use like the ratcheting handle from John Hiley or Tactical Dent.
Yeah.
So that would probably be a little bit more easier on my wrist. I'm literally wearing a wrist brace right now. Something's going on that's hurting. So those are the type of things that...
Tell me, how did you like the gloves?
Did I like the what?
The gloves that
you,
I make?
I actually like them. I like that the tips are exposed. The tip of your fingers are exposed. Cause that's the one thing about gloves. Like I like to feel the tool. I don't know what it is, but working off of millimeters here. So I need to feel the adjustment. I need to feel how that tool is actually gliding against the door, all of that stuff, because, you know, I need to pinpoint my pushes. And so a lot of times I do not wear gloves, but when I do, to help fatigue, I obviously go to your gloves because of the exposure of the tips, and then the pad that is right there at the ball of your hand. It's a thick pad. So if you're going to do a lot of pushes, you're just going to stay right there. You know, I switch to that one. I use the left, literally the left or the right, depending whatever hand is on the tool, not the hand that's out. I don't like the glove when I'm not pushing by any means. So.
Okay, I get it. Yeah.
I don't know. It's so weird. It took a while because I think when you sent them, I didn't use them. I used them a little bit, then I didn't use them. Then I just couldn't get comfortable. Then my hands started sweating. And so now I've been on this path of like trying to do PDR and do it in a way that doesn't hurt my body as much. And so I'm trying to just be more open-minded with gloves and support for like your wrist. Sorry, go ahead.
It takes a while to get used to, that's for sure. And I think the most, how would you say, most use of them you get if you're doing hail.
Right.
You're just doing constant pushes all the time. And you're doing the roof, you know how many pushes you must do on the roof, and basically all on the same position of the hand.
Right, yeah.
So
I can imagine, because that big pad... Or it's not big. It's just a standard pad, but it's positioned for me in the right spot that I would actually, you know, put effort in, or that would fatigue, and which is the ball or the palm of your hand, right on the edge, basically going into the wrist. This is probably why my wrist hurts right now.
Yeah.
So quickly, let's switch up and talk about the industry. You know, where do you think the industry is going? I guess in the next 2 to 5 years,
I think it's going more and more to retail shops, so PDR retail locations.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
That's where the money will go to.
I agree. I think more and more people are getting exposed to what PDR is and what it can do, and they're looking for a professional company. And so if you don't, the perception of a professional company is to have a brick and mortar, and, you know, a nice lettered up vehicle that's more commercial, not someone's, you know, possibly Honda, you know, Odyssey van. It's just not as commercial, and they're just looking for the most professional company. And I think on both sides, so they're going to know, the customer is going to know what good PDR is and what bad PDR is. I think it's going to be, there's going to be a distinct line for most people, or at least more people than there is right now. That's just my opinion.
Because it may be true that there are more and more damn guys, but there are not more and more professional companies.
Right. You know?
So the market can be saturated with damn guys that will push for cheap, do door dents for, I don't know, 10, 20 bucks, whatever the prices are in the area. But if you are a professional company there, like you said, with your own established location, you can get high-end customers. You just need to find them and educate them what is the difference between you and every other stand guy in your market.
Yeah. And I started not really saying high-end customers. It's just customers that are, I would say, like OCD about... Yeah. They're dense. And so whether they're driving around in a, you know, Kia or a brand new Tesla, it doesn't really matter. They want that dent out so you don't see it anymore. And they're going to go to the professional. That's something that they're paying $400, $500, $600 a month for on the low end. And these cars are getting expensive now. So even a Camry is like $35,000, $40,000, you know, to purchase. So on a brand new car, you want the professional, not someone that is the cheapest option. It's kind of like the car wash. You can take it to car wash, a $9 car wash is going to scratch up your car. Everybody knows it. It may be okay just to get the dirt off or get the salt off the car, but you know, if you really want to bring that thing back to new, you're going to have someone spend time on it, possibly do at least some paint correction or at least buff and throw some wax on it. So, and which is drastically changes the price, but at least the customer can decide which option they want. So, and that's my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, and overall, I think the industry is going in the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Zan, what you got the PDR World Cup. Are you competing in this 2019 PDR World Cup?
Yes, yes, I am.
Yeah. I think you said that before.
If I'm there, I'm most likely competing.
Okay.
That goes with any expo.
And you're going to be speaking too, right?
What did you say?
You're going to be speaking at that expo?
Speaking, yeah. Yes, also.
Okay.
And we're going to have a booth with my wife.
Oh.
With the gloves.
Okay, okay. Nice, nice.
So it's going to be a busy, busy expo for us.
I see.
That's why we wanted to go a few days earlier to just get ready and not rush through things. And, you know.
I gotcha. Well, Zan, I appreciate the time you're spending with me and the viewers. Hopefully everybody got something out of this conversation. I know I did. Do you want to say anything to the PDR community before we head out, Zan?
I don't know. Just keep on working and keep on pushing. I don't know what to say. Try to do your best every day and you'll get there wherever you want to get.
That's good. That's good. Well, Zan, again, thanks for sharing a few minutes with us. And I appreciate it. And I will see you at World Cup.
All right. Thank you so much for having me on and bearing with me and my English.
No problem, Zan. All right, guys. All right. That concludes the show. Talk to you guys soon. Thanks.
Bye-bye.